Rabosai, any one of us, after going through yesterday's parsha of Vayishlach, becomes more attuned to the relationship that we have to the world around us. And whether it's personal experience, or whether vicarious experience through others, or even by reading some of the events that occur around us, but not even in Yerushalayim, one through yesterday's parsha gets the eternal message, as the Nesiva Shalom and others say over and over and over again, whatever is written in Chumash is there, and it's not, you know, it's not telling us a history lesson, and it's not telling us facts and all this, but it's giving us a hadracha eternally for the Jewish experience, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek, as such. Some years ago in Chicago, there was a Frum family sitting in a government building ready to be processed for something. And around them were all non-Jews. And there was one couple of among the American-speaking non-Jews who were sitting there, and they were speaking in Spanish. And this man is, and the, you know, Israeli, his Jewish Israeli family was sitting there, the husband and wife were sitting there speaking in Hebrew. And the man who was speaking Spanish to his wife took notice and came over. He said, what language are you speaking? He asked the Israeli. He said, I'm speaking Hebrew. He said, tell me, are you Jewish? So he said, yes, we are Jewish. And the man started to shake, visibly shaken. And so the person said, like, what's happening? Why is this so? He says, you know, I read about you in our Bible. I live some miles away from Mexico City in a small town, and you're the first Jew who I ever saw. And, you know, so he was really taken. And he says, can I ask you a question? Would you mind if I ask you one question? He says, you know, I read that you are the son of the king. Your sons and daughters of the king. I want to ask you a question. Then he said, when you walk in the street, do you think about things that we think about? Or do you think about other things? You know, on a higher plane. And it's interesting that, you know, the person thought over as such, whatever he answered, you know, I don't know. But, so that's not mentioned, but it was something for him to remember what it is to be the Ben Melech. The same sefer that I saw this in speaks about the time that Rav Yaakov Glinsky came into Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, Lahav Ben Achayim Lachayim, Rav Shach's room, and it was the time that President Clinton was the president of America and was visiting Eretz Yisrael. And so Rav Shach said to Rav Yaakov Glinsky, Rav Yaakov, did you say the bracha of Shalom Asani Goy already today? He said, well, of course. What did you think about when you said that bracha? So Rav Yaakov, you know, before he's going to answer anything, he said, Rav Shach answers himself, and he says, I didn't think about some non-Jew somewhere, but I thought about the fact, you know, that Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make me like President Clinton. By the way, this is all before President Clinton had all of his problems. But just the fact is, Shalom Asani Goy, he was Baruch Hashem, even as President Clinton. That's how the mice is brought down. So Rav Yaakov says to him, he asked Rav Shach, why do we make a bracha Shalom Asani Goy? Why don't we make a bracha of Shalom Asani Yisrael? So Rav Shach answered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the schus of not being a non-Jew. To be a Yid, we have to make ourselves. That was his word. This is Rav Shach says to Rav Yaakov Glinsky, to be a Jew, you have to make yourself a Jew. Now, the Torah gives us instruction how to navigate the pitfalls of how to be a Jew. And here we are, this week's Sedra. Yaakov Avinu hears that Esav is coming, Va'arba Meos Ishimo, and he gets ready, and he stavens to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Beis HaLevi characterizes the whole situation. And Yaakov Avinu says to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Please, Hashem, save me from my brother, from the hands, miyad ochi miyad Esav, from the hands of Esav. And the Beis HaLevi asks, why does Yaakov Avinu have to say miyad ochi miyad Esav? There's only one brother, we know that. Either say miyad Esav, miyad ochi, what's the idea? So when Yaakov is mispowered to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he essentially is saying, please, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm going to meet Esav. Either he's going to come at me like Esav or Russia with violence, spilling blood, it's a danger there, or he's going to come to me as Esav, excuse me, as Ochi. The sweetness, the kindness, the care of a brother, a brotherly love. You know, Kaddish Baruch Hu, I don't want either, because both are dangerous. And the fact is, the danger of Ochi, that's why it's mentioned first in the Pasuk, Miyad Ochi, is greater than the danger of the violence. Especially Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov, we understand, was not a featherweight. We saw already in earlier Parshas how he was able to remove the rock from the Be'er that took a number of people to be able to move. So therefore, when he said he didn't want the metzias of an Esav, he didn't want the hashkof of an Esav, he didn't want the midos of an Esav to infect the members of his family. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu answered him in the positive. Because as we know, the Pasuk says, Vayoshev b'yomahu Esav, l'darko se'ira. And Esav, on that day, after not seeing each other 22 years, the both brothers meet. And they're meeting, you know, with hugs and kisses. And yet, and one day, he spent one day, and Esav's on his way. And he says, let's go together. But Yaakov already gives him a reason why they can't travel together. It's not necessary to leave anybody with us from your group. And we'll go, and eventually we'll meet, on Yaakov's terms. But the fact is that Yaakov Avinu didn't even want an Esav to be with him, even for a short, short time. Because the fact is that the Ochi is a greater, greater danger than the Esav. The mashal that's given, and it probably is a secular mashal, I didn't see it in Sfarim, is, unless someone will tell me later on, is a dialogue between the sun and the ruach, to bring out the point. And what are they saying? The sun talks to the wind, and the wind says, you know, I see that person down there. I can get him to take his coat off. And the son says, let's see which of us can be able to do better in getting this fellow down there to remove his jacket or his coat. And the wind starts to blow. And the harder the wind starts to blow, the man grabs his coat closer and closer to his body. And it's not coming off. And it's blow his heart. As long as the man can stand up, the coat stays on. Now the son says, watch me. And he starts, you know, turning up the heat. And after a while, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And we know what happens after it gets very hot and all this. And sure enough, the coat comes off. This is the derech that we have. In generations where violence was used against us to be able to make changes in our lives and in our approaches, it didn't work. Moshe and Cain, the warmth, the closeness, the brotherhood of nations, that has made differences and continues to do so. And therefore, in this case, as one said, we fear not burned Gemaras, but we fear closed Gemaras. That's it. When the Goyim have attempted to stop us from learning, and during the periods of in the Enlightenment period in Europe, going back within the last 200 years, when cartloads of Svarim were burned in France and other places, in the square, in Paris, burned, you know, the Jews continue to learn. But what has been the concern when the Gemaras are closed? That is what we call the silent Holocaust, God forbid. It is interesting that very recently, like last week, there was a report that was read to the Federation of American organizations here in Eretz Israel. And there is a report that came out. It's called the Pew, P-E-W, the Pew Report. And I want to share some points to it, because one sees Maisa Ovus Simon Labonim. And if they would get the real idea, there could be a change, and who knows. But the report goes like this. A key aim of the Pew Research Survey is to explore Jewish identity. What does being Jewish mean in America today? Large majorities of U.S. Jews say that remembering the Holocaust, 73%, and leading an ethical life, 69%, are essential to their sense of Jewishness. More than half, 56%, say that working for justice and equality is essential to what being Jewish means to them. And about 4 in 10 say that caring about Israel, 43%, and having a good sense of humor, having a good sense of humor, 42%, are essential to their Jewish identity. So the report goes on, and then it says, and then the following. By several conventional observing religious law is not as central to most American Jews. Just 19% of the Jewish adult survey say observing Jewish law, halacha, is essential to what being Jewish means to them. And in a separate but related question, most Jews say a person can be Jewish even if that person works on the Sabbath or does not believe in God. By several conventional measures, Jews tend to be less religious than the U.S. public as a whole. Compared with the overall population, for example, Jews are less likely to say they attend religious services weekly or that they believe in God with absolute certainty. And just 26% of U.S. Jews say religion is very important in their lives, compared to 56% in the general public. Last paragraph that I share with you. As a result, you know what's coming next. Moreover, intermarriage rates seem to have risen substantially over the last 5 decades, well, last 50 years. Among Jewish respondents who have gotten married since 2000, which is, merely 13 years ago, nearly 6 in 10 have a non-Jewish spouse. Among those who got married in the 1980s, roughly 4 in 10 had a non-Jewish spouse. And among Jews who got married before 1970, just 17% had a non-Jewish spouse. So we see the way that this particular situation goes. Now, a person has to realize, of course, what the impact of our society has on us. And if a person is unconcerned and unaware, so there's a real danger. God forbid it's like a person who has an illness and can't treat it because he doesn't even recognize that it's there. I want to share something with you. Please do not leave while I share this with you. I want to give you the whole idea. I want you to know that I, personally, am partly non-Jewish. And I don't mind sharing it with you. My son is here, but he's aware of this. So therefore, there's no surprises to anybody in this respect. So I'm not concerned, since, we're close. So therefore, there's no reason not to be able to share it. I'm not ashamed. I'm not happy with the situation, because what do I mean? You'll say, well, is it your father? My father, Aleha Shalom, was Jewish. Your mother? My mother, Aleha Shalom, Jewish. So how am I partly not Jewish? So the fact is, I lived in America for over 60 years. Born and bred on the New York Times as many, many, many other people in that sense. And it's impossible that anybody living in America doesn't get influenced by the society. And in this respect, he becomes partially non-Jewish as well. So if a person doesn't realize it and he says, who, me? I say, yes, you. like everybody else. It's not shayach not to. But of course, when you really are aware, then you start putting on the safeguards. Then you look back at Chumash, say, what do I do? Fine. The Chavetz Chaim, I saw in the Sefer, the Chavetz Chaim, before he got, once stopped in his davening and paused by Birchas HaShachar for about 10 minutes. And they asked the Chavetz Chaim, what is it? How come? See, he said, before I made the bracha of Shalom Asani Goy, I was checking myself out, I was examining myself to make sure that there were no non-Jewish influences within me. Listen, if I would stop to make sure anything like that, I would be here. I wouldn't daven that day, past thing. However, we're in good company. If the Chofetz Chaim is checking himself out to see to it that he doesn't have non-Jewish influences, then there's no shame. I remember as a child living in Connecticut that dry ice was once thrown at me as a child, and people called me a dirty Jew. I remember going to my mother, Alei Shalom, so you get the idea, and I said, what's a dirty Jew? I washed like everybody, took baths, showers. What's a dirty Jew? So whatever age I was exactly, which I don't remember, but I do remember that incident to such. And I remember as well, we lived near a little woods in back of the house that the non-Jewish kids, older ones, took a pitchfork and they stuck it into a snake. I remember, I don't remember any of the dialogue, but I remember to them taking the snake and sticking it in my face, a little bit away from my face, because what? I was Jewish as such. And I do remember later on, another time, some of these other kids knocking my yarmulke off, and am I picking it up, and they are standing around jeering me at the time. That I do remember. Those things strengthened my Jewish identity. Yet, let me tell you, I still remember today the lyrics of songs that I heard before I went away to yeshiva. I went away to Nei Israel, age 15. Our yeshiva ketana went through the ninth grade. So therefore I went away, age just turned 15. I went to Nei Israel. I remember songs. It's an interesting thing with songs. I also remember certain things that I saw and certain things that I read. Okay. But songs, interestingly enough, remain the tunes. Various people. I'm not going to mention their names anyway to you. They're various singers. But the fact is, because they won't mean anything to you. But I don't want to mention the Beis Medrash anyway. But the fact is, those songs, I can remember them to today. Listen, this is what happens along the way when our culture invades our minds, our hearts, and our neshamas. At the time, I couldn't, if you would speak to me at the time and say, listen, these things are happening and they're undermining you as far as your avodas Hashem and your dveikas Hashem. Listen, what do you want from a 15-year-old kid? At the same time, we have to be aware that this is the way it is, and things haven't changed. And this is why, when you take a look at the report, something like this, where we say, listen, what's he wasting his time going over this stuff with us? Yeah, this is La Pesachatis Reves, Velecha Chukoso. And at the same time, Baruch Hashem, Batatim Shabbat. The same Chatis is out there waiting for us in a different way. There's no Shailah. Yeah. To them, it's gross acculturation and assimilation. And to us, it's sometimes self-doubt if we're doing the right thing, being in the yeshiva and learning Torah, because it's the same Yetzirah. He just changes. Baskin-Robbins has many flavors. Well, he comes in many flavors as well. Now, Yaakov Avinu, he lives for the Lord for 20 years. 20 years. How did Yaakov Avinu get out from under? How is it that he wasn't, changed during that time? I mean, it didn't. If the Torah is there to give us a message, and the Torah is there to give us examples, and the Torah is there to give us guidance, we're not talking about the Malachim. Ein Echanami. We say, listen, we're not even talking about the Ovis. We understand, we can't even appreciate what the Ovos were, and yet, we have to have some of their midos are there Otherwise, there's no guidance at all. So there's some that we can be able to come to. How did Yaakov Avinu, how did he manage not to be influenced? Well, first of all, he learned. That we spoke about last week or a couple weeks ago. He learned for 14 years more. He's with his father for 63 years. Now he's leaving. And he goes to Shem Ve'eva for another 14 years. And we said, what does he have to learn now? I mean, he had learned so much. He has to learn more. Yeah, that's right. Because there was a different type of Torah. There was the Torah of, so to speak, Chutz La'aretz. There was the Torah of what it is to be able to not be in the house of Yitzchak and be able, and Rivka, for Yaakov to be able to get. The Torah to be able to live with a lover. It's like the Torah that we have in this space Medrash that it strengthens us for now. Even living in Eretz Yisrael, which frankly, unfortunately, is a shtickle golus as well. I mean, and for those of us before the last elections, for people who wondered, maybe it's not so, so I'm not going to get into that now, but, you know, they got the message better at this point, okay? However, Baruch Hashem, this is the mikveh. This is the way it is. We drink it in, it's going to prepare us for now and when we leave here as well. Wherever we go, other yeshivas, chutz la'aretz, whatever it is, that's for sure. So Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years there. And not only that, in learning, because that's the way we get there too, but he had a mindset. And it's a major mindset. Im lovin garti. Why does it say im lovin garti? Why doesn't it say im lovin yashavti? I dwelled with lovin. What's this garti? Because he never bought in to loving. It was not his thing. You know? It's interesting. It's not his thing. It's a story about the way a Jew was treated the old days on a train. Jews were always discriminated against. So there's a Jew who comes into the train and he's sitting there near a suitcase. And the conductor of the train comes in and he says to him, Jew, he says, move this out of the, you know, in another spot, this baggage. Move the baggage out. The Jew doesn't do anything. And the man comes back. He says, Jew, move the baggage. You know? And if you don't, I'm going to throw it out. And they meant business, especially a Jew, for a Jew. So he still sits there. He comes in. The conductor picks up the baggage and throws it out the window, and it goes tumbling on the countryside. The Jew says, it's not my baggage. That's the way we look at the world. Love them. The world, it's not my baggage. We're here. We're like fish in the stream. I walk, every time I walk into the Roshiva's office, I see the aquarium. It reminds me of the fish in the stream, that they're so close, you know, I could stick my hand in there. I think I could. You know, I have to get his permission first, so I grab it. But the fact is, even though they're so near, they're in a world of their own. So too was Yaakov Avinu by loving, and so too are we. We have to work on it. That's the way. We're in a different world. I'll tell you something, I needed this a lot when I was in Johns Hopkins in Loyola for many years. And there, the non-Jews were not sticking snakes in my face, and they were not knocking the armbugs off. On the contrary, Rabbi, what can we do for you? And they were educated, and they were fine people. They were awking. Boy, did I at that time have to grab on tight to understand that although we wore the same type of suits, but we were so different, and not just different in degree. He wasn't I wasn't Jewish because I wore a yarmulke and he didn't. But we are different in kind. It's another Bria, another Metzias as such. Even though the handshake was warm and friendly, different Metzias. That's it. So we are here, and I say like this, you have to stop, you look, and you listen. You stop to take, you know, to make a cheshbon on nefesh. Yourself, you know, I'm here. I'm here for a year. Whether I'm here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe even 14 years. Well, I don't see any bacher who's here for 14 years in this yeshiva per se, but it doesn't make a difference. We stay, however long we stay. The idea is that we grow. We look at our rebbeim. We use them for role models. We learn the svarim. We have the speakers who come. This this, the Rosh Hashiva has set up a yeshiva that Baruch Hashem, you know, gives us so very much. No shame about that. So, I have the opportunity, when I go outside, and you have to use the world around us to be able to serve Avodas Hashem. You know, we see that, Shlomo HaMelech looked at an ant, and he said, oh, you know, he learns all from the ant. You take a look at the Mishle, you'll be able to see. When we see the Rekevet HaKala, the light rail, it's a beautiful thing, sometimes you think of it. Here's one coming this way, and the other comes this way, and they pass each other parallel. We can learn from that in the world around us, the two trains are coming in different directions. We say to ourselves, imagine I'm on one train, the Torah train, and here comes another train, and we pass. And we really are in two different directions and two different worlds. We can use the Rakevet HaKala, along with other things, just to reinforce the mission that we have of a different world. I'll tell you, I would say to us, it's worthwhile, when we leave tonight, call up your parents. You call up your parents, and you say to them, you know, Mom, Dad, Mommy, Daddy, Tati, Appa, Ima, whatever it may be, thank you so much for putting me in a different trajectory than the Jews who are here, which is unfortunately the majority of the Jews in America. And this is what I'm also a respected, so to speak, report. And it gives a picture which really, we don't have to get it clear. The Chatas is still there in his own way for us. And each person knows where his, you know, his soft point is and where his strong point is. The key is we're in the middle of a battle. And thank God, our parents helped us years ago, giving us the home and the schooling and the opportunities to be here. So it's Kedai, a phone call to say thank you, and Kedai Pasha to be Mischazik, and that Rakevet HaKala could be used even by not getting on it. Have a good evening.